I'm sure that you've noticed a lot of churches today are involved in all kinds of business and social ventures, but involve very little teaching in the Word of God. Some are quite proud, in fact, of the fact to place little emphasis on doctrinal matters. The emphasis should be spiritual, not material or social. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Let's look at verse 34. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. For that reason, our main concern is that we teach and abide in the doctrine of Christ. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's look at chapter 4 and verse 3. Chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Let's also look at 2 John chapter 9. 2 John chapter 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. This requires that we pay close attention to the Bible and treat it as our sole guide in spiritual matters, not adding to it or taking away from it, not mixing in doctrines and commandments of men. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Let's look at Revelation 22 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's also look at chapter 15 and verse 8. Chapter 15, starting at verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Let's also look at chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where is it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, that we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. It is our aim to be the very same church as the one we read about in the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Let's look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. We do not claim perfection in our attempts to follow the doctrine of Christ, but neither do we use our imperfection as an excuse. We are always willing to examine ourselves regarding whether or not we are in the faith. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Let's look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. these are more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in the days in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. This is the faith or doctrine that our Creator has delivered to us once and for all, which we are to contend for. Let's look at Jude verse 3. Jude verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith to which a great company of Jewish priests became obedient. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Let's look at that real quick. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The inspired word of God clearly tells us that the Lord's church is a spiritual house. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are told how to conduct ourselves in the Lord's church, which was designed to uphold the truth. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know that you know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. John 4, let's turn to John 4 verse 23. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4, 23 and 24 tells us if we want to properly love and serve our Creator, we must become true worshipers in His sight. Look at John 14 and verse 15. Excuse me. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. What if we begin adding to His word or taking away from His word? Notice more carefully the profound Bible principle. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1, Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, starting at verse 5. Every word of God is pure, He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Again, let's look at Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 18. Again, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If we start using human names and creeds that God has not authorized in his word, study carefully. Again, let's look carefully at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. I marvel that you turn away so soon from him who called you out of grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Again, we are examining ourselves with God's inspired word. Jesus tells us that we must abide in his word in order to properly be his disciples, and that this is the only way we can know the truth so that the truth can make us free from sin and death. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If God's word does not have free course in us, that is no place in us, then we will not be interested in following only his truth. Look at John 8 and verse 37. John chapter 8 and verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Do we have the love for God's truth? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now I have a question for you this morning. How many of us believe that what you've just heard would be a would be great to put in a flyer and hand out to people? That's good, because it came right off of our flyer this morning that we have in the back. We have a pile of these on the table in the back, like I said, that need to be handed out. Some time ago, I put some numbers up on the board, and I'm going to use them again this morning. 7 is the number of days we have in a week. 24 is the number of hours we have in a day. 168 is the number of hours we have in a week. If we choose to attend services Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening, we've spent 4 hours serving the Lord. Just 4 hours out of 168. We can do better. We have to do better. We're commanded to do better. We can give each other flimsy excuses why we can't, but will your excuses hold up on Judgment Day? Let's look at an example. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 10. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said to him, Here am I, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Now obviously Ananias was a little worried, maybe a little scared to go talk to Saul of Tarsus, who's known for persecuting Christians. But let's look at verse 15 and see what happens. The Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus Christ told Ananias to go. And in verse 17, let's find out what Ananias did. The first three words, and Ananias went. That's all the farther we have to go. The Lord said, go, Ananias went. The Lord told Moses to go back to Egypt, and Moses went. The Lord told Isaiah to go, and Isaiah went. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord has commanded us to go. Have you gone? Are you going? I want to read a paragraph to you out of the Truth Magazine. There are approximately 7 billion, that's with a B, billion people in the world. Most of them are lost. The last statistics I saw noted that members of the Churches of Christ number about 2 million 250,000. That number is comprised of the good, the bad, and the indifferent. It includes those on the right, the left, the middle, the far right, and the far left. Of the 2,250,000, it has been estimated that non-institutional brethren number approximately 500,000. That's also the good, the bad, and the indifferent. When we count, when we contrast that number to the 7 billion people in the world, we're not even a speck on a dot. The point is, we have work to do. Let us obey the commandment of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and do the work. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That's us, Christians. We're His own special people because we're purchased with His blood through baptism. Let's read it again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The definition of proclaim is to declare officially and publicly. When we hand out flyers, we are declaring His praises. We are trying to spread His word. Christ told us to go. And we need to go. If we hand out flyers, there's a possibility that in the future this building could be full. And if all congregations, no matter how big or small, would do just a little bit more, just a little bit more than maybe 4 hours a week, all churches of Christ could be full. And we could be adding to God's kingdom. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, I again want to go through the steps as I've done before. We all need to have these in our Bible. We may not be able to quote Scripture, but we need to be able to tell people what they must do in order to be saved. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45, Christ tells us, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and it shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Christ tells us, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Christ tells us, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And in Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 again, Christ says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Christ tells us, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Christ has commanded us to do these things. We must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized in order to please the Lord and in order to have our sins washed away. We must live faithfully until death to receive the crown of life. And one of the things we have to do in order to obey the commandments of God and Christ is go and spread His word. And we have the ability to do that. There's nobody here that can't walk. There's nobody here that can't ring a doorbell. There's nobody here that can't take a flyer and hand it to somebody and let them study that with their Bible. That's all we have to do. That's one of the things we have to do in order to spread God's word. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, if you've obeyed the gospel and you've fallen away and need the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that if you'll let us know as we stand and sing.
I gave my life for Thee.